For 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Let me just talk to you for just a few minutes here about something tonight. It's one of those things that you really need to get down. All of us need to get this down, this truth in our minds and hearts real deep. Because you're going to face these things like these folks we've been talking about. So I said over there to them, you know what, it's our turn's coming. You know it is, don't you? You know you're going to get a turn at this also. We just live our lives and live year after year, and it doesn't happen to us, and it doesn't happen to our family, and so we got to get this feeling like we're exempt from it, but we're not. It's absolutely in front of us. So we need to be able to deal with it when it comes. And you say, well, you just can't. Oh, yeah, you can. You can know some truths about God and life and the way it all is that'll help you when the time comes. I mean, you prepare for everything else. You know it's winter, so you prepare to stay warm during the winter. If you don't, you're going to get cold. I mean, you prepare to have food for this week because you go to the store and buy it. You prepare for driving somewhere. You put gas in your tank. I hope you're not so dumb that you just take off with an empty tank going 100 miles and run out somewhere. You know, we're not stupid when it comes to that stuff. So let's not be that way when it comes to these hard things that come in our life. Now, it's a matter of perspective. If we just keep our perspective right as a Christian. Now, if you're not saved, all this is nothing to you. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to understand, and it's not going to help you. You're just left out in the cold. It's like we're talking and you're outside somewhere. If you're saved, this ought to really ring your bell, and it ought to be something that would help you. The righteous are not exempt from affliction and suffering. For our light affliction, Paul said here, for our light affliction. This is the man who got stoned over and over, beat, they did all kinds of things to him. Light affliction? You call being stoned a light affliction? You call being in prison light affliction? What about a shipwreck? Just think of all the things that he suffered. And yet he said, our light affliction. He didn't take it real serious, all that stuff. He didn't take it near as serious as everybody else does. We're not exempt from affliction and suffering. It's certain to be our portion, as well as the portion of the wicked people. Just because we are among the righteous and they're among the wicked doesn't mean that the affliction is going to be pass over us. Nope. We're going to have our part of it. Our righteousness or our standing with God does not exempt us from affliction and trouble. There's a great difference between the righteous and the wicked in every respect. And so there's a lot of difference in the righteous and the wicked when it comes to their affliction. Now listen to me. Afflictions and suffering hurt the wicked, but they help the righteous. That's a pretty big difference. Hurt or helped. One adds to your eternal joy and one subtracts from it. That's the way it works. The wicked, the afflictions work on the wicked. It just works more and more to their eternal misery and damnation. You watch. People and people can pretty much be identified by the way they deal with their affliction. You get bitter over things that happen in your life. That's no trait of the righteous. The righteous don't. That doesn't happen with them. The joy of the righteous is never, never mentioned in the Bible as short, but long and enduring. Joy of the Christian is long, not short. And it's enduring and it's deep and it's full. It's the beginning of heaven here on earth. I mean, it's the beginning of eternal life here. That's what the Christian's joy is. It's long for them, and grief is short. Now, if you'll just look at it right, I mean, if you get the right perspective about all this, you'll understand that that's really true. Our grief is short. Our joy is long. And that helps you when it's dark in your life and when bad things are happening. The joys of the wicked are light and fleeting and temporary. If they are ever happy, it sure don't last long. And it ain't a deep down joy. It's just like kids playing and being happy and then crying the next minute. That's kind of how it is. We got to keep our perspective in this matter so that we don't despair or faint under the circumstances. We let circumstances rule us. We shouldn't. The mind, and we won't if we've got the right perspective here. The mind sustained by God can endure whatever is laid upon it to bear. I believe that. I believe that we can overcome. I believe that we're able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. I believe the grace of God and the Spirit of God in us, the promises of God, the life, eternal life in us, gets us through anything. Anything. I believe the righteous continue. They really do. They just keep going. Not that it's easy. Not that they don't have trouble. Not that they don't stumble once in a while. But a just man falls 7 times, yet he riseth again. You just keep going because God strengthens you. The grace of God does that for you. So the mind sustained by God can endure whatever is laid upon it. Now you think about that. We've been reading Job. We're just in the first few chapters already, but my... It's no wonder that God put that in the Bible, because we need that. We need to read about somebody like Job. He made it through. He never faltered. In all this, Job's he didn't sin with his lips or charge God foolishly. I mean, he had it before the trials came, you see. He didn't have to have the heavy weight of the trial on him and then start searching for God and searching for answers. No, he was ready before it ever hit. And that's why God said, all right, Satan, just give it your best shot. He ain't going to fold. God had faith in Job. How about that for a change up? The afflictions are light that a Christian has. In the light of what we know that we deserve, any affliction of this life seems light. If you got the right perspective about yourself, about your sin, about God, you'll realize that no matter what happens to you in this life, you deserve much worse. I mean, we all deserve to go to hell forever. And so, if God feeds us and gives us joy and helps us through life, and we have some troubles here and there, looks like we could take it a whole lot better if we saw it like it really is. They're light compared to what Christ suffered for us. I wonder if there's anybody ever had any more suffering in their life than Christ did. You think about what he had to put up with. The Bible said in Hebrews, cheer up, you know, sort of. It's kind of what it says. But it said, you have not yet suffered unto blood. You know, you've not striven. But our afflictions are light compared to what they would have been if Christ hadn't died for us and suffered for us. What would it be like if we didn't have him? If he had never came and had never died, what would our life be like? They're light. Our afflictions are light compared to what awaits the wicked. Compared to those, they're not even worth mentioning at all. They're going to go to hell and burn forever and ever. Eternal torment forever and ever. Now, what's that problem you got again that's burdening you so bad? that's just light and temporary, and compared to eternity, it's nothing. You know, compared to what the wicked have in front of them, our afflictions, no matter what they might be, are light. So you can say that, it ain't you. I can say that because it's true. My turn is coming, just like everybody else's. And I know that. And that's why that I latch on to everything that I can learn like this. Everything that I can think about. I just believe God. I believe His Word. And I believe His promises. And I believe they're true. And I believe we can rest on them. And I believe we can make it through whatever comes on them. Our afflictions are short compared to the eternity of suffering and anguish that awaits the wicked. They're short. Our afflictions are short. Have you ever thought about that? What's this we've always said? Well, 2 weeks. Probably won't even remember this, hardly. 2 weeks, it won't matter. 100 years from now, it won't matter. No, it won't. But you ain't going to have to wait 100 years. It ain't going to matter in 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to be on past this and forgot about it. The terrible problem you got today. Just a little bit of time, it'll be gone. Time just takes care of a whole lot of things. And time is pretty short. You know that, don't you? Life is pretty short. All our afflictions are the means of grace to work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, it says right there in that verse we just read. Our afflictions, all of them, are the means of grace. Think about that. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what kind of bad news you might get this week from a doctor, from somebody else, some other thing, it's a means of grace. It's God's working in your life. It's not God punishing you. It's God working in your life. Even the chastening of the Lord is for our good. And it's for the time being. It's not pleasant, but it brings forth the peaceable fruit of holiness. God's got our good in mind. These things don't happen without Him knowing about it. God knew this before we ever even thought of such a thing. It didn't surprise God. Didn't slip by Him. Nothing happens to us without His notice. He knows it ahead of time. He allows it. Because, why? Because it's for our good. It's going to increase our joy for eternity. Think about that. Y'all hearing me? The afflictions, the light afflictions, Paul said, worketh in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory. Think about that. Think what you're trading. Think what God's doing for you. He's increasing your joy for eternity. Well, it looks like that ought to make the affliction a little more easy to bear, don't it?
Yes, sir.
You really believe God? That's what it says right there. The afflictions themselves do not merit a reward, but the results that they produce in us prepare us for glory. Yes, they work in us a weight of glory that far exceeds the weight of the affliction here, a far more exceeding weight of glory. That means it's way more than what the weight of the burden of the affliction is going to be here. When we realize the design and the tendency of the afflictions, that's what's going on, and that's why they're happening to us, then the sting and the hurt is taken away. You'll be able to say this honestly. Psalm 119, verse 71. Like the psalmist, you'll be able to say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now the psalmist got to the place where he said, I'm glad. I'm glad I had to suffer that. I'm glad for the problems. Thank you, Lord. Because he got to the point where he seen that it really did help him. He said also in verse 67 of Psalm 119, that's just two or three verses before the one I just read. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Afflictions, troubles, adversity in the life of a Christian will make them more faithful. Not less faithful. Say, well, I know people that had problems and they just quit church. You're looking at a wicked person, not a righteous person. I don't care if they were a reverend, a brother, a sister, whatever. I don't care what title they had, what they done before in their life. Affliction will make a child of God more faithful. They ain't going to run from God. They're going to run to Him. They're not going to get bitter. They're going to get better and sweeter.
Yes.
That's what affliction does to a real child of God. Now, to a person who's not a child of God, affliction does just the opposite. It drives them away from God. It makes them more bitter and more unbelieving. So, there you go. And that's the truth. Our own consciousness of what we deserve inspires patience and submission to the afflictions of this life. Knowing it is short and that there's an end ahead to the affliction gives us strength and courage to endure. When we know that it's just for a time. Just for a time. See, we despair. We say, this ain't never going to end. This is what it's always going to be. No, there's an end. Say, but there's some things that you lose a loved one. Where's the end of that? Well, have you forgotten about eternity? Where you at in your life? You halfway through? Two-thirds of the way through? You nine-tenths of the way through? Well, just figure up. 70 years, that's what, you know, the average life is. So how much more you got to go? How long will you have to wait? God does take a loved one. How long are you going to have to wait? Well, if you're toward the end of your life, it ain't going to be long. So don't despair. It's just a short interval. And then it's eternal glory. With no more sickness, no more dying, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain or sorrow. All those former things all passed away. Can't you wait? People get excited about Christmas presents. And they can't get excited about eternity. And this is true. All this is real. And it's true. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. David figured that out early on. Sorrow's just a little while. The child of God has these seasons of sorrow and seasons of affliction. But they're just seasons and they're not forever. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42, verse 5. I've been talking about David, and I've been telling you what an encourager he was. How could he encourage people if he didn't have hope? This is what he looked for. This is how he looked at life. This is the way he dealt with things. He always had the hope out there. He always kept it in sight. Always had his eyes looking beyond the present circumstances. Now, the case of the wicked is not like that at all. The things that he calls joy are mere excitement and vanity. Tell me what the world, I mean the average person out here, young, what do they live for? What's life about? The weekend. Multitudes of them live and work. Well, some of them don't even work. But they just look forward to the weekend when they can party and drink and be stupid and waste all their money, wreck their homes and ruin their children and ruin their life and their health, and they call that fun. That's the pleasure they get out of life. They call that joy. Well, it's not joy. No, but that's the best they got. The Christians got joy because of what lies ahead and the promises of God and the certainty of it all and this way of looking at afflictions because they're going to help me in eternity. The lost don't have that at all. They're not made of anything. These things that he calls joy, they're not made of anything substantial. And the slightest adversity drives them away like chaff. They're gone. They lose all their joy with the least little trouble that comes along. It's all gone. They have nothing in them worthy of being called joy. Nothing. Y'all think with me a minute. Think about people you know. Think about lost people that you work with, that you know, that you see every day. Go to the store and look at their faces. It's terrible. How many people you see smiling anymore? They ain't got nothing to smile about. They ain't got no hope. They're without God and without hope in this world. Yeah. Well, if you're a child of God, you sure ain't. You ain't without God and you sure ain't without hope. Right. In this world. Yep. The joy of the sinner is short-lived. It's fleeting and disappointing. They're vain and false and fickle and unsatisfying. They just chase one thing after another. They just have one relationship after another. They're just always trying to find some kind of happiness or peace or joy in life, and it's fleeting and they never can find it. It's to me, if it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable that people could be so foolish. You know, they'll fall in love and it's just so wonderful and they're just so silly about it all. And then visit them 6 months, year later, oh, it's gone. You know, they're somebody else now. I mean, now they hate each other and there was somebody else. They found another one. Same old thing. Start over with the same old nonsense again. Looks like you would learn, doesn't it? They're vain. Disappointment has hidden her sting beneath her fairest flowers, somebody wrote. Disappointment has hidden her sting beneath their fairest flowers. As the joy of a saint is a prelude to heaven, the joy of the sinner is a prelude to hell. He's always disappointed, and his joy always fades away. His joys were only the mercy of God, which he abused, and he'll suffer for it in eternity. For eternity in hell, he'll remember those mercies of God that he abused in this life. I believe that's true too. People in hell are going to remember. God's going to wipe away all tears from the eyes of the people of his people in eternity. I believe God's going to take care of it. I don't believe we're going to spend eternity mourning over our lost loved ones and weeping and crying. He's going to wipe away all that. God's going to fix it so that we just, either we don't remember or something's going to be done so that we're not going to weep over them anymore. But in hell, it's not that way. They're going to remember. Abraham said to the rich man in hell, "Son, remember that in thy life, you had your good things, and Lazarus his evil." Now the wheels turned. Now Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. He remembered Lazarus. He remembered his brothers. He remembered the word of God that he had heard and rejected. And he's still remembering it tonight in hell. So people that refuse and rebel and will not yield to God and believe God and trust him and be born again and be reconciled to God. Everything in this life, all their joys, all their afflictions, everything works to their eternal damnation, to increase their suffering through eternity. And on the other hand, for the child of God, all things work together for good to them that love God. Yeah. Quite a difference, quite a contrast. He's always disappointed, and his joy always fades. The afflictions and the sufferings of the wicked have to be borne alone. Did you ever think about that? He's comfortless, and he has nothing to sustain him. He can't pray. He can't go back in behind the house or in the woods or in his bedroom and say, "Oh God, help me." He can't do that. God won't hear his prayer. What if you couldn't pray? What if you didn't know God and didn't think He was even there? Or you thought God didn't care about you? When you're a child of God, you know God loves you. And you know He's there. And you know that His ear is open to your cry. If you're righteous. If you're living wicked and saying you're a Christian, you ain't going to have that confidence. I told him over there, this way I believe it is, if you say you're a sinner, you probably are. I don't see how it could be any other way. If I'm a child of God, I ought to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why don't anybody just say, "I'm saved. I belong to God. God's my Father. I'm a child of God." So He hears me. He'll help me. He's a very present help in time of trouble for a child of God. You got all that comfort. They don't. Did you ever think about it? You got God. You got His Spirit. You got His grace. His comfort of the Holy Ghost. You got the promises you can pick up the book and read again. The promises you've read 1,000 times maybe, but you can read them again. And they still, it's the balm of Gilead to your soul. You got all that. They ain't got nothing. Nothing. All that will help you through the darkest time of life. But the lost ain't got nothing. Nothing. They just have to despair. Because they're without God and without hope in this world. They sure don't have hope like Christians do. That cheers and gladdens their heart. The afflictions of the wicked are not light. They're heavy. They couldn't ever say are light afflictions. A Christian can. You can say light afflictions when it's like Paul suffered and worse. The afflictions of the wicked are not short. They're not light and they're not short. How long are they? Everlasting. He may get a short respite, but only to face another avalanche of sorrow and torment. And the afflictions of the wicked carry on into eternity. Because what do they do? What do they do when they have trouble in their life? Blame God. That's what they do. They hate God more because they're suffering. The Christian don't hate God more. They fall into His arms, His everlasting arms. Yes. They draw closer to God. They become more faithful to God. The child of God does. People shouldn't worry so much about Christians. People that really know God. People that have walked with God all their life. Other people, their family and everybody shouldn't worry so much about them. They're going to be all right. I promise you. They'll be better for it. And they'll be eternally better for it. God will take this and turn it into a great blessing and benefit. God uses it to multiply and to grow and to expand and make it bigger. The blessings and the eternal joy and blessings. The afflictions of the righteous work a far more exceeding weight of glory, but for the wicked they work a far more exceeding weight of damnation. Well, are you a child of God tonight? If you are, it ought to make you happy you are to realize these truths here. While all things work together for good for the Christian, all things work together for ill for the sinner. Don't look at them like the psalmist did and say they're prospering and they don't have any trouble and no bands in their debt. Nah, he was being lied to by the devil. And it just looked that way on the outside appearance, but it really wasn't that way. Everything works to their eternal destruction. You're on the road to destruction. And everything that happens along the way is making it worse and worse and worse for you. That's why you must repent. That means to turn and go the other way. He delivered my life from destruction. His joy and his afflictions all work to increase his bitterness and unbelief in God. And therefore, it increases his suffering in eternity also. I believe that's the way it is. So you believe in degrees? Yes, I do. I certainly do. If that's not true, then God can't be a just God. God is going to judge the righteous. He's going to judge the wicked. And they're both going to be rewarded according to their works in eternity. Hell's going to be hotter for some people than others. Yes, sir. And heaven is going to be way sweeter for some people than others. Yep. Depends on how you deal with your afflictions here on earth. And I believe a child of God can deal with them. And I believe they make the child of God better, more faithful, more real, closer to God, which increases his eternal reward. Far worketh a far greater weight of eternal. All right. Things like this help you if you just remember and keep your perspective right. We ought to live in eternity and not so much in the present world. Somebody said he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. That's a bunch of baloney right there. You need to keep your eye on eternity and live for that. You need to be laying up treasures in heaven, like Jesus said, and not on earth. Take not thought for tomorrow. All that's in the same context there. Jesus said you ought to keep your eyes on eternity. You ought to live for the promises of God. And that gets you through all the afflictions and troubles and adversity of life. All the troubles and trials we have. Keep looking to eternity. Let God work in your life through the troubles. Learn to lean on God and to run to Him. And find your help there and your strength there. If we believe that, how could we ever foolishly charge God foolishly with our lips, saying, "Why'd you let this happen to me? And this ain't fair, and I shouldn't. Why did you do this?" We wouldn't do that at all. The devil might run that thought through our mind, but we'll dismiss it immediately. God loves me. He knows what's going on, and He didn't do this to hurt me. He did this to help me. And maybe it's hard to see that right at the moment, but hang on. Just keep trusting God and the water will clear up for you and you'll be able to see. It's really that way. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God and the promises and these truths here that we've talked about. Lord, I believe this is all right. Please help us to cling to these things and keep them at hand. For the days are coming when we'll face afflictions also and troubles and sorrows of life. And this life is all about subtraction. This earthly life, we diminish more and more as age and time works on us, and life goes on. That's the way life is here. So please help us, Lord, to realize that eternity is really what our life is about. It's why we exist. It's why you've saved us and given us all of these promises to look forward to and to cling to through this troubled life here on this earth. Please help us to retain these things and have the right perspective about life and the things that happen to us and the things we go through. Lord, pray you go to get us home now safely. Help us the rest of the week here and watch over us. Help us to be a witness to those around us and bless our church here. And help us, Lord, to see some new faces and strengthen us in the work here. The time is short and we want to be doing your will in Jesus' name. Amen.